Looking to go out in the town and the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those of which to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does. Let it rip.
Episode 103, welcome to Steel and Az, brought to you in part by Hedge Better from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. We're here once again. Guest, Cape Cod native, XFL recently drafted wide receiver Andrew Jamail joins the show as a member of the Orlando Guardians. You know, we cover his record-setting career at Stonehill to, you know, his appearance in the fan-controlled football league under Richard Sherman.
Big time.
You know, just the ins and outs is really cool. It's definitely more of an underdog story, and, you know, we're wishing the best for the kid. Couldn't be a nicer guy. And, you know, he told us from head to toe what his expectations are.
Yeah, it's like no, unbelievable, and it's you know, just, and I'm sure for him, as like he had brought up, as you'll get to, I mean, like Edelman and stuff around here, just like the perfect person for him to look up to on the career route.
Yeah, yeah. Taking some money from Bob Menery, good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Bob's coming here to get that.
But no, incredible story. I mean, right from the beginning, like high school, college. I mean, he's just been a stud everywhere he goes, and I'm sure it's going to continue.
Yeah, afterwards.
He did give off that stud wide receiver vibe.
Yeah. He has that attitude.
He has an attitude like he's making the NFL. We just sat across from a future NFL player.
I think he's going to the NFL.
You'll hear all the compliments from the obviously experienced players in the story that he tells. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Afterwards, tune we in. Got down to business as Rough and Rowdy this Friday night. Providence, Rhode Island. Bobby Lights Out Lang, our guy, taking on in a rematch, Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Let's go.
Magic Mike led the way, and, you know, kind of previewing it. Obviously, Lights Out's going to win, but we give you, you know, even the undercard should be a great night. The boys are going. I think Steel's staying home, but we'll have a good time.
Tickets still available, I think. Get them or do the pay-per-view. Pay-per-view's always good. I'm even buying the pay-per-view and we're going because I need – there's nothing better than the fucking commentary, honestly. I truly am buying the pay-per-view.
Let's go. Afterwards,
I'm going to have to relive it. I'm going to be fucking shit-faced now. So I'm not going to remember a fucking thing.
Oh, that's not good. Afterwards, we'll recap
the
Pats 24-10 loss to the Bills.
I will.
Preview the must-win Monday night matchup against the Cardinals. Recap the rest of the NFL, including Tom Brady's comeback against the Saints in the fourth quarter there, along with our locks of the week, hint-hint Tom Brady this Sunday. We'll have Bruins talk as... You know, 23-1, pretty good. Finally lost at home to Bruce Cassidy and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Huge MLB offseason moves.
Aaron Judge, baby.
By Aaron Judge, return to New York. We'll have that. But let's get to the interview here. Let's let it rip with new XFL wide receiver, the Orlando Guardians, Lando Leap, Andrew Jamail. We're now joined by Cape Cod native, now a member of the XFL Orlando Guardians, Andrew Jamail. Great to have you on the show.
Absolutely.
Just before we get into all of it, just how does that feel? You know, you played in the fan-controlled football league last year, but, you know, the XFL is coming back after the COVID slip-up and stuff, new team in Orlando. Just tell me, you know, that whole draft process and things like that.
It's exciting, man. It's exciting stuff. I remember watching the XFL my senior year of college in 2020, and it was legit. And I was watching it sitting on the couch in college thinking, I'd love to play in this league. It's a good opportunity. It's on ESPN every Saturday.
Yeah, right. We're here. Like, right. Let's go.
So the fact that The Rock took it over, The Rock and Danny Garcia, I mean, I think it'll only be bigger and better. So I'm excited.
Do you think you'll get to meet him?
Yeah, I probably should. Right, I assume he'll be at some games.
Yeah, yeah, has to be, right?
And then,
right. Has
to be. Vince McMahon was the originator of the XFL league, correct?
He was. Yeah, he was.
Shout out, Vince.
Great and also, quick interjection. I just saw The Rock's stunt double, who's his cousin, in Hawaii when I was getting burgers with Walter.
I want a Hawaii interjection.
Yeah, come on.
Every episode till we.
Did you think it was him? Is that why you figured that out?
No, he literally looks exactly like The Rock. If it wasn't him, yeah, it's him. Like, the guy's like, yeah, it's his like cousin. Because you're like, is that the fucking Rock? And then, no, it's not.
So before we brush up your career a little bit, just how have you been keeping yourself in shape? Like, where have you been going to train? Have you met any of your fellow teammates yet? And that gets kicked off, I think, right after the NFL season, February 18th.
Our first game's a week after the NFL Super Bowl, so we just keep it rolling.
Let's go.
But yeah, man, I mean, I've been staying active. I actually just, you know, took the whole month of December off from work just to train, lift, run routes, things like that. I'm all over the place, though, in Massachusetts. You know, wherever I can find the work. I'll go to Stonehill sometimes. I got a good guy I train with out in Needham, Joe Colton. So I'm all over the place.
What kind of got you, you know, people like playing quarterback, people move around, play running back, different positions. What kind of gave you the true love for, you know, passion for not just the game, but playing receiver, man, because you can get hit over the middle there. Of course. Tough. We're all Edelman guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right on a swivel.
He's out of the league already because he got smoked.
That's a good question. Let's see. So I was a young high schooler, freshman, small, skinny. My older brother, he played receiver at Sacred Heart. And he was a running back in high school. He went to college and learned how to play receiver. He had a great receivers coach. So he comes back and starts, you know, giving me some of the technique and knowledge he learned. So I'm a freshman in high school. I'm starting to learn some Division I, you know, technique, routes, things like that. And it just started clicking. And by the time my sophomore year came around, you know, I'm still small, skinny, probably not going to be running the ball between the tackles. So I'm trying to think about how I can get on the field. And I know playing on the perimeter, I can get open and catch the ball. So my brother influenced me to play receiver. And, you know, I had success with it from the jump. So
nice. I go out in that area in the summer, like more DY. I played Bass River Golf Club, you know, a couple months ago.
Okay.
Good spot there. Trying to think of a couple other parts.
Cape's great. Oh, yeah. Summer. It's undefeated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's undefeated.
So have you lived down there like your whole life? Or is that?
Yeah, born and raised. My parents were in the restaurant business. So awesome. I went to Dennis Yarmouth. My dad actually started the youth football program in my town.
Really?
So he ran the whole show. And then going into high school, he was the offensive coordinator. Yeah.
What restaurant? Yeah. Me and my uncle, my cousins have a place in Dennis Porter, used to. So we would go down there every summer.
It's called Ardeo.
Ardeo.
Yeah, Italian, little Mediterranean food. We're going
to have to go.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
We're going to have to go.
You ever hit Falmouth down there?
I don't go to Falmouth too much. It's deep for me.
Yeah, that's the other.
Where is Ardeo?
It's in Dennis.
West Dennis to straight.
West Dennis.
West Dennis.
First round's on me.
Oh, yeah?
I got you.
Where West Dennis, people? We got people in West Dennis.
Yeah, that's
also food connoisseurs here.
I got family out there. The Sandbar. Sandbar's a good spot.
Oh, yeah, I know the Sandbar.
Yeah, that place gets... I remember I was crazy. So drunk there one night, I threw a fastball of a Bud Light off the wall. They're like...
The fuck?
You gotta go.
Yeah, get out of here. Yeah, have a good night.
Like, strikes, you're out.
Control yourself, man. Yeah. That's...
It was the end of the night. I was leaving anyway. Might as well leave at 10.
Yeah, right.
Hey, is that the Beachcombers?
We won't bring him.
Beachcombers out in Wellfleet.
Oh, Wellfleet.
Beachcombers, legit.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Definitely.
Is the whole family still living in the Cape?
No, I mean, I'm one of seven kids, which is crazy.
Okay. Wow.
I'm number five, so I'm down the line a little bit. But no, everyone's off the Cape, actually.
Gotcha. Sounds like Zay Flowers' family kind of. He had a big family, right?
Yeah, he was one of 14.
One of
14 is crazy.
Yeah.
Zay Flowers.
He doubled it.
Yeah, like one, yeah, sevens. Four. Yeah.
Now, were you guys in the Super Bowl, DY?
Yeah, my sophomore year. We played Doherty, and we lost by two.
Okay, I was trying to remember that experience. Yeah. Like, that experience must have been awesome. You know, again,
playing at Gillette, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy, walking through the tunnel. It's wild.
Now, your senior year, I kind of did, you know, looking at things. What schools were you talking to? Did you like have your mind set on Stonehill, or what kind of opportunities did you have? Because, you know, coming out of public school where people aren't seeing you as much,
right,
doesn't really draw too much attention.
Mm. Yeah. Dude, I was the Division IV. I was the player of the year, and I didn't get one Division I offer. Not any. I mean, I was small and skinny.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say I get it, but that's how a lot of coaches think.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew I could play. You know what I mean? I can line up and get open against anybody and catch the ball. So I had three full rides to Division II schools. It was Stonehill, Bentley, and St. Anselm.
Oh, wow.
And going through the process, my dad's like, He's like, nah, you don't get to decide where you go. You got to go where the money is. I'm like, okay, fair enough. At least the decision's easy for me.
Yeah.
Sure enough, all three of them, same offer. He's like, all right, well, now you get to pick. I'm like, sheesh. So I waited out, and I'm happy I went with Stonehill, definitely.
You caught some catch some passes from James Lamb, Quincy guy?
My junior year was his senior year, and he was the QB.
All-time Quincy quarterback there, one of the best.
Great athlete.
In history.
Great athlete.
Great dude.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So, you know, going through Stonehill career, I saw you had one specific game where you caught 5 touchdown passes, you know, I think 200-something yards. You kind of just – you broke just a shitload of records that day.
Yeah.
What went into that process of, you know, balling out?
You know, the week before, our offense struggled, and pass game was non-existent. I was out there doing my thing, running routes, getting open, and I remember talking to the coach after. I'm like, Coach, what's the game plan for this Saturday? He said, the game plan is get 18 the ball. I'm like, okay. So I put together my best week of practice. Saturday, at home, weather's great, playing against a team with a good offense and not a great defense. So I knew it was going to be a shootout. I don't know. I was just feeling it. I remember they called the first play. It was Pace. Yeah. I remember the first play. They called basically like a little deep slant over the middle. And I told my boy, I said, I'm going to catch this and I'm going to take this to the house. First play of the game, to the house.
Nice, let's go. Yeah, at that point, you're like the Randy Moss, like before even play starts, just like hand up.
Right.
Like, just fucking.
The tone was set.
I'll see you there.
It's crazy. I saw it go down before the play.
Now, no, were you allowed any touchdown celebrations? I know.
In college.
Nah.
I would try to do a little bit, but nah, not really.
So we'll hop into the fake.
After 3, that's disgusting. Yeah. Like 4 and 5, you should just be allowed to go nuts.
Right.
Yeah. Grow up.
I'll hop like, into the fake control league, like. Did you get any like touchdown celebrations there where you kind of lead more?
Oh, of course. Yeah. They encouraged it in that league. So
what was your go-to? Like, did you
have didn't have like one go-to. I was switching it up. I was out there dancing, jumping on walls, throwing the ball into the stands.
Tell me a little bit more.
The XFL, you'll be able to do whatever you want.
For sure. I'm jumping into the stands. Yeah. First touchdown. I'm calling it the Lando Leap, the Orlando Leap.
Lando
Leap.
Orlando Leap.
Yes. Wow. Scoring, and I'm swan diving into the front row.
Lando Leap. Wow.
Yeah, you heard it here.
You have that in the back.
Let them
put it on a shirt.
What's that show when they crowd surf? Yeah. Just let them take you.
Right.
The fan-controlled league. So was that more of just like an arena type league? I was watching some videos today. Yeah.
So arena football, pretty much, it's 7-on-7. So 3 down linemen, QB, and then either 2 or 3 receivers on the field or 1 running back. And really it was – I graduated in 2020, finished my senior year at Stonehill, and I had a pro day lined up at Holy Cross. Ton of CFL, NFL scouts there. I just wanted to get my shot. You know, why not? And it got canceled, so I didn't know what to do.
Was it COVID or just
COVID? Like
pandemic,
COVID.
Yeah.
Everything got canceled
in
the spring.
You were the type that got smoked because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. I was 1 week out. And, you know, 2 months went by. I just kept working out, staying in shape. And I heard about some tryout in Atlanta for a new league. I'm like, I don't know what is good with this league at all, but I'm going to go to the tryout and get some film. There'll probably be some good competition.
Something there, yeah.
Anything, looking to compete. I have an agent who, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, you might as well go, you know? So I went, and then I start hearing about the league, you know? Quavo owns a team, Richard Sherman. I'm hearing all these names. I'm like, what the hell did I just show up to?
Whoa.
I ended up going off at the tryout, and the commissioner called me. A couple weeks later, he's like, I want you in this league. He's like, I saw you play, and he's like, you have a potential to be a star in this league. And even then, I'm like, I don't know if I want to play arena football. And he's like, whatever you decide to do, man, I just want you to be at peace with it. Whether you play or don't play, as long as you're cool with it. And I'm like, you know what? I got nothing else to do. I don't want to work at the restaurant anymore. I got to go play ball. So
yeah, exactly.
I went to the FCF, and it was still during COVID. The whole world, like, there was no sports being played at the time. It was the winter of 2021.
So where did you play? Like, you were part of the Glacier Boys.
The Glacier Boys,
so
yeah.
Did the whole league play in the same place?
Everyone was in Atlanta.
Okay, everyone mm-hmm. was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that was last season?
Yeah, so I played 2 years. I played 2021 and then this past winter.
For Richard Sherman's team?
Yeah, it was Richard Sherman, Quavo, and Destroying.
Oh, so they all own the...
All 3 of those own the Glacier Boys.
So did you have any conversations with them? Were they...
Of course.
Were they real good?
Ton of them, yeah. Destroying, he's a YouTuber. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of him, but he's huge in that YouTube field. Yeah. He makes, like, football content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got 4 million subscribers on YouTube. Oh. So he would go to the games and, you know, pump us up. And I was out there doing my thing. So he kind of got me a lot of... Like, I joined that league. Not that this is matters, but I had 2,000 Instagram followers, and now I'm at like 15,000. Mm. And it's just kids that watch Destroying and follow these other celebrities that are now invested in the league. So they kind of put the spotlight on us, and I just ran with it, you know?
That's absolutely. Cool. He puts your clips up. You got, sure. You got a picture with Future, for and sure. Then it's smoking. Okay.
Right.
Literally. You
right.
know what I mean? That's,
and I mean,
get you a bunch of stuff.
When the Patriots had brought me in to work me out, they actually reached out to Richard Sherman, and they're like, what do you think? You're like, is this kid legit? And Richard Sherman's like, what took you so long? You know, it's crazy, so.
He does a great job on the Thursday nights.
I was going to say, that's a great guy to have your back, because he's respected, and he'll be like, that's my guy.
That's it.
Like, yeah.
That's
at the very least, it was a good networking league. Like, you for probably sure. met some very important, like,
T.O.
people.
Played in the league. Yeah, yeah. Manziel was great.
Manziel was in there?
He was in there 2 years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's the
he
poster
with
boy.
Menery?
Yeah, Bob Menery's team, the Zappers.
Josh Gordon,
yeah.
I forgot Manziel was
Josh Gordon's the man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It seems like, obviously, his career's been derailed by something different, but it seems like he's a really good guy.
Did you guys win, like, a ship or anything? Or
made it to the ship and lost. Sucks.
And you're, because I used to be a big Florida State guy. Your quarterback was DeAndre
Francois. That's my guy.
Wow.
And he's now my
quarterback
for
now,
Orlando.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Already got the connection.
That's right.
Out.
That's beastly.
Right.
That's
going to
be good.
You guys
got to
make the Lando leap together.
We will. Yeah, it'll be legit.
So where's, like,
the dirty dancing into the Lando.
What's, like, the big XFL thing, like, or the draft? Can you explain, like, the draft? And I'm bringing this whole thing back since it went away. Like, I asked him tonight. I was like, the XFL's gone and back again? Like, I didn't even know. I remembered it being around during COVID, but, like,
yeah, I
what
mean,
was the process of them, like, getting it back? Do you know anything about that?
And reaching out to you.
In terms of, you know, them getting it back, I just know The Rock and Danny Garcia took it over. But they had tryouts. You had to, you know, register for it and send your film in, so they didn't just let anyone into the tryout. But obviously the success I had in the fan control league, I went to a workout out in Arizona, you know, ran a 40, did a lot of testing, not as much football drills, but a lot of testing, did well. And then a lot of teams did their own private workouts after that. And Francois knew he was going to go to Orlando. So he kind of, you know, said, Coach, I think I need this guy. So
nice.
I went to their private workout, and I did real well, and they saw enough. And so I had a good idea that they were going to draft me before the draft. I just wasn't sure how high.
Yeah, because wasn't it something like they picked the quarterbacks? Like
quarterbacks were first.
Yeah.
So every team claims a quarterback and a backup quarterback. Yep, and then the next day was the draft.
Mm. Are you guys going to play in Disney?
We play right next to Disney. It's called Camping World Stadium.
Camping
they played
World
some college bowl games there.
Yeah, okay.
Citrus Bowl or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's a beautiful stadium.
One of the 70 of them.
Right.
They have the ESPN rights, so I was thinking, like, maybe Disney
exactly.
goes in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's real cool, though.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple, like, hypotheticals. So what quarterback in the NFL would you like to – I mean, obviously you'd like to play
Tom Brady.
Him. Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah. Of course.
Grew up as a Patriots fan. You know,
100%.
Can't deny that.
I love Tom Brady. You tell me where to be and what depth and where to turn, I'll do whatever you
want. So I'm sure you're huge on Edelman, Amendola.
Favorite player ever.
Yeah.
Edelman, yeah.
So obviously, what do you want to get out of, you know, continuing the play, just getting to the highest level you can? Or
of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But, you know, I'm just focused on where I'm at right now. That's what I've always done. You know, I never once thought about playing in the pros while I was in college. I really didn't. I was just trying to be the best player for Stonehill I could be. And after my senior year, you know, I broke all these records. And I had talked to one CFL team. And they said, you have great stats. You have great film. As long as you put together a decent, you know, pro day, I don't see why we wouldn't at least invite you to camp. I'm like, that's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, then one thing led to another, FCF. I wasn't thinking about nothing besides the FCF. And, you know, now it's the XFL. But I remember coming out of college and I said, I'd love to play in the NFL. CFL or XFL, because obviously they're great football opportunities, but, you know, they're paying. They take care of players.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sure enough, I ended up playing 2 years of arena, but, you know, now it led to this opportunity.
How it begins. How did that
right.
You know, that's right. When you took the phone call or whatever it was to get to the fan control league, you think it would – that you even think in your mind that, like, it was going to lead to at least, you know, one of your dreams in the XFL?
Well, that was the goal, but I didn't know. I didn't know. Do I think I'm good enough to play at the next level? Yes. Do I think I was going to get an opportunity? I don't know.
That's what,
you know?
That's what I was thinking,
too. It's tough to get. That's,
you know, it's things I can't control. I can go out there and dominate every game, and if no one wants to bring me in, it is what it is.
It is crazy how that works. Like, you can be as good as whoever's playing on Sunday.
But I enjoyed the process. You know, I enjoyed playing in that fan control league. You know, it wasn't.
I was saying
the end game.
It's good. It's good to have on the resume. Not every. Some people just go to the NFL. You're getting kind of the fucking wide variety.
I got my dad. I got my dad telling me, you got the rest of your life to work. You might as well try to play as long as you can. You know, my body feels good, and I still love playing. So,
how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. Yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah. We've been trying to get Menery on the pod here. Have you had any interactions with him at all?
I have here and there. He's crazy.
I'm not going to say we'll never lock him down, but Jesus Christ, that guy's tough to lock
down. Oh, yeah, he is.
But he's big time.
And he'll entertain it a little bit, probably.
Oh, yeah. Some days it's like, oh, yeah, let's do it right now.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, I see you playing Fortnite all fucking day.
Right.
Like, you definitely could bang out an hour pod. You could even play while we record with you. I don't care.
My first encounter with him, he was at an FCF game. And I was sitting on the bench, and he's right above the bench. He's like, Jamil, he's yelling down. And I don't even know. I never met him at this point, but I know who he was. I look up. I'm like, oh, shit, that's Bob Menery. And he's like, I got $500 that says you don't score on the next drive. I'm like, all right, deal. I go over to Francois, the quarterback. I'm like, yo, if you throw me a touchdown on the next drive, I'll give you $200. He's like, easy. So we're next drive. We get down into the red zone, and they call, like, crossers and – Francois easily could have stepped up and ran it in, but he just forced it. I made a catch and scored. I checked my phone after the game. Bob Menery Venmo'd you $500.
Let's go.
Yeah. That's great.
That's typical great. Bob, always and losing his bets.
He was at a game this year, and he grabs me by the face mask right before the game, and he's like, all right, let's make a deal. He's like, if you score two touchdowns or more, I'll give you $500. If you score two or less, you owe me $100. I'm like, okay, deal. I scored zero, maybe one. And I never paid him.
See ya.
You hear that, Bob?
You got beat.
$100.
Come here and get it.
That's right.
Boy, you're waiting. I had another question I kind of missed back to your college days. The transfer portal is so nuts now. I think there was like
crazy
700 plus kids. Was that like ever a thought in your mind of, you know, if I want to get seen by, you know, an NFL, CFL team, that, you know, I'd have to move on from Stonehill, try to find a D1 place somewhere else?
The only time I thought about that was after my junior year. So Stonehill was really good when I was getting recruited, always top three in the league. My freshman year, disappointment, but we were 6-4. Sophomore year, 7-3. My junior year, we had the worst season in I don't know how long. We went 2-9. Quarterback play, you know, it was offense as a whole. We weren't good. I was frustrated. We weren't winning games. That was the only time I ever thought about it. And not for NFL purposes, just because, you know, I had 1 year left of college football. I want to make the most of it. Yeah, you know, right. I had 91 catches my freshman year, 81 my sophomore year, and 45 my junior year. And I was a better player my junior year. So, you know, I don't know if that's selfish, but, you know, I wanted to do well. So yeah. I thought about it for maybe like a month. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to be the captain next year. You know, I'm going to end up breaking all these records that I was close to. And so that offseason, you know, that winter junior year, I basically squashed that because people were thinking about it. Like, oh, are you going to leave? I'm like, nah, I'm staying, and we're gonna win. My senior year, we ended up going 7-3, and we missed the championship by one game. But, yeah.
Kind of sounds like the same story as Zay Flowers.
Love the dedication.
Zay Flowers, he wanted to stay to break all the records. Unfortunately, they didn't have the year they had at BC, but seems very similar at least.
Yeah.
That, you know, he wanted to stay because he liked the school and he wanted to break everything.
Right, but
not
nowadays.
Only that, did you get your degree with that through Stonehill?
I did. Great school.
And what do you, what'd you get a major in?
Communications. Because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do when I had to declare, and I know you can go a lot of different ways with it. You know? Yeah. My brother's in sales. He loves it, and you know, something with business, I'm not sure. So I figured communications was broad enough, and I mean, I did learn a lot, so.
Let's go. That's so question I always ask, you know, athletes on this show, Andrew Jamil, not on the football field, what are you doing? Like, what's your go-to thing if you're off the football
field? That's a good question. I mean, football is, you know, it's not who I am, it's just what I do, you know. But, I mean, first of all, I'm a big family guy, you know, coming from 1-7. That was always huge. But, you know, since college ended, I mean, I've been playing pro football. This will be my third year. So my life's revolved around playing in season for 4 months. And in the off season, I've just been grinding, you know, working whatever job it is I've been doing to make some money and also training on the side. But, you know, I like to have my fun, especially on the Cape in the summer.
Of course.
I still kick it with my boys from high school. And, you know, I got my friends from college that I see every now and then.
Some beaches.
What else?
Maybe course, dude. Some softballs.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. Beach is the best.
How many days a week do you train? So
it varies, but right now, 5 days, I'm getting ready for training camp, you know, so I go 5 days hard, and I got camp in about a month, but it varies.
Are you going to be living in Orlando?
So it's different. They have us all in Texas for the first season. The whole league is in Texas.
Really?
We stay there, but then we fly to the stadiums for the games. So every Friday, we're going to fly to wherever the home game is.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting.
What part of Texas?
Arlington.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the U.S.
city of Texas. Fan of
right.
Texas,
yeah. Because they want fans in the stands at the games. And a league like, you know, the USFL, which is great football, they play every game in Birmingham, Alabama. So that's kind of the same fans to pick from, the people in that area, as opposed to going to Orlando, going to Houston, going to Vegas. You know what I mean? They want the cities to rally behind the teams. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was – I'm not sure why we're all in Texas, but yeah. I think it's just for, like, first season control purposes, coordinate everything.
It'd be so sick if they had a Boston team and you guys just played.
Bro, it'd be awesome. They had a New York team a couple years ago when it was.
Yeah, they had MetLife. That's cool.
It's just because we start in February, and like I said, they want fans in the stands.
That's true.
It's too cold. Boston team would be sick, though.
Yeah. Orlando will be sick. Orlando.
It's going to be great.
A good
team.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
I'm playing excited, next to Disney. I can think of some things to do in Orlando. It's
definitely.
Orlando's a fun time. I'll be down there in February. I think Super Bowl
we
weekend.
Might have to go catch a game.
You should. Weekend. Definitely.
We should catch a game.
It'd be sweet.
That's what we always say. We'll catch games with the people that come on here.
Mm-hmm.
In town.
Front so row. I'm Lando leaping right into you guys.
How do we miss game one? It's clear. I'll be there.
Yeah, any notable teammates you know that, like, people knew from college or ex-NFL guys?
Let me think. So, yeah, a couple. I mean, a lot of guys – or, you know, been in the NFL already.
Yeah.
A lot of them are big-time Division One guys. Our quarterback, Francois, mm-hmm. One of our receivers, Cody Latimer, who played for the Broncos and the Giants, won a Super Bowl. Our first pick was Charleston Rambo. He's a big wideout who got released by the Panthers.
Miami Hurricane.
Yep, exactly. There we go.
My guy.
Yep. Kelvin Taylor, who's a running back. He's Fred Taylor's son. Remember Fred Taylor, the running back?
Nice.
He's on one of the podcasts.
I mean, having
there,
a Super
okay.
Bowl champion, that's probably so cool to just have the experience around you. You know what I mean? With that,
it's great.
So much knowledge in the game.
Dude,
already,
it's crazy.
You know I mean?
We had a Zoom meeting Tuesday, install for the first install for offense. We get off the call, and I get a call from Cody Latimer, you know, 2 minutes later, and he's like, what'd you get out of that? You know, he's already quizzing me and asking me questions. He's like, look, dude, he's like, I think you can be a problem. He's like, I play with Wes Welker, and he's a mismatch nightmare. And he's like, you got some moves, and I just want to see you do well. So, you know, he's already kind of
having your back,
taking
that's
me
awesome.
Under his wing, and he's just trying to help me out. So,
that's really cool.
Like you said,
incredible.
Bro, Super Bowl champ. I mean, the attention to detail is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So is that surreal for you still that, like, obviously you played at Stonehill, but playing with guys who played, you know, Elite Division One or, like, former NFL guys, is that still like, I'm here,
It's hard not to get caught up in it because I was always that kid on the couch watching these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm here and I'm playing with them and it's for good reason. So I can't think like that at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I do pay respects to, you know what I mean, the guys I used to watch on TV because I'm a fan of football, you know. Oh, yeah. So it's
a
little
different.
You're
a fan for the minute when you meet them and then it's like, all right, you're also my
teammate.
You're my teammate. You're also my teammate.
I'm
better than you
the
too
first
now.
Experience in the FCF was, like, pretty eye-opening because I was going from Stonehill to, you know what I mean, I remember meeting Josh Gordon, and a lot of other players in the league are like, you know, they try not to act like that's Josh Gordon because we're all in the same place. You know, they're like, oh, I don't care. Me, I remember, like, Josh Gordon he's walking. So the bus driver, we're going to practice one day. We took these, like, little sprinter vans, and he's like, oh, Josh is coming with us today. And I'm like, I don't even know who Josh is, whatever. I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, I see this dude walking over. He looks like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, huge, bro.
Whoa, that's on our team?
And I'm like, wait, you mean Josh Gordon? And he's like, kind of laughing. He's like, yeah. I told my boy who was sitting next to me, I'm like, Marcus, get in the back. I'm sitting next to him. He gets in, and he's sitting next to me. I'm like, dude, what was it like playing with Edelman and Tom Brady? I'm asking him all the Patriots questions, and he's just, you know, he was the man. So
he was just
nice,
shooting
nice.
It right back.
I said, what was it like to play with Edelman? And he said, dude, he's crazy. He goes all out every play. I'm like, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Honestly, your favorite Edelman player.
One of my boys played for the Seahawks when the Pats beat him in the Super Bowl. I'm like, you gotta tell me about Brady. He's like, he said he got, like, his face got real serious. He's like, bro, you hear about it and then you see it in person, like him on the field just commanding the offense and, like, doing his thing. He's like, we're NFL players. We don't get intimidated by anybody, but Tom Brady, like, it's just different. Everyone just knows he's the guy.
Yeah, we were shaking. Right. It was like, God damn it.
It's crazy.
You think he'll go another year? What do you think about come back to the Pats? What are you thinking about guy?
That's crazy, right?
I mean, you might get to play with him. You must want him to play another year for sure. At least.
Definitely.
He's divorced now. No one's holding him back.
No one's holding him back.
I mean,
looks like he's got a new hot girl.
You watch him.
How can you not?
Right.
He's Tom Brady, dude.
Dude, you watch him throw the ball, and he still throws lasers.
Yeah.
Like he.
The comeback kid the other night, 16-3.
Right. That was weird. Yeah. I mean, it is. It was weird that whole game. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I still feel like the Bucs are going to go to the playoffs, make a run, and maybe be in the Super Bowl. I can't think any other way.
It's because of that guy.
Right.
He just has to get to the playoffs, and as long as he's got that team somewhat, like, under his control and, like, playing up to his level.
And I'm not sure what his statistics have been recently, but there was a time like Tom Brady's like percentage of winning a Super Bowl or making the playoffs was like higher than Steph Curry making a three, like higher than like someone winning a clutch.
Well, his
division, it was ridiculous.
It's absolutely crazy.
His division's so bad. Like I think he only has like 2 interceptions on the year. I think he's like 18-2. It just even though they've had like problems on the offense, like
it's crazy.
It just
seems. As a Patriots
fan. You should stay in that division just for that reason.
And as a Patriots fan, it's like the only 2 games a year matter, the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
That's how it used to be.
People used to talk shit to me from like other towns, and I'd be like, you understand if we don't have a first round bye, it's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When was the last time you guys were even in the playoffs?
Right.
And they'd be like, you're banned from this bye.
were in Nashville, and it was just like, the Titans pumped us, the Pats. And it was just like, they're all talking shit. And like,
see,
it was like week like 13, and we were all just like, see you at the parade, dude.
Seriously.
Like, literally don't even care.
And the Pats
won
the Super Bowl that year.
Of course.
They did. They literally did.
I went to 3 parades in college, I think. Yeah. 2, maybe. But we were in the Super Bowl, like, every year. It's crazy.
Are the Pats your team? Still? Are you still riding with them
so
even through these tougher days?
Yeah, teams for, like, hockey, baseball. Like, what did you watch?
I mean,
did you watch any other team? What would be your ranking of teams?
I mean, I'm a big football, basketball guy. I don't watch the Bruins as much as I should. I watch them in the playoffs, but... You talking about NFL teams?
Well, I was just saying for your Boston sports teams.
Yeah,
Pats, Patriots,
Pats,
Celtics,
my favorite by far. I like the Sox too. I don't watch baseball as much though.
Baseball fun.
You don't get time to watch watch the Sox.
But I mean, just growing up in Massachusetts, and we're always a dynasty in every sport. Like at one point, it's hard to root for anything else.
Gets boring.
Seriously,
you wouldn't get it.
But it's different now. It's different now.
Now it's a hustle. Now we gotta go. Now let's get back to it.
One last time, give me your folks' restaurant a shout out. What's it called?
Ardeo.
Ardeo.
Yeah, it's been around on Cape for maybe 30 years.
Is it near the bowling alley?
Bowling alley. Because
I've been to an Italian place.
It kind of is. You're talking about the bowling alley in South Yarmouth.
Yep.
Right over that bridge.
Yes.
Have you been there?
I might have been to the Italian place.
Okay, I might have been the bartender.
Oh, wow.
What's your favorite drink? What's your favorite go-to drink to make?
I like the espresso martinis. Those are my favorite to drink, so I got
to
make a
good one. You know the martini boys. We're going to have to send them down to your restaurant.
We will,
yes. Definitely.
How many beans?
I go 3.
Yeah.
Have to. Have to go 3. Come on now.
I'll take a test.
My dad jokes. My dad will call me Vince Papale all the time. I'm a bartender trying to go play pro football.
Love that. Andrew Jamil, man, appreciate you coming on the show. And we got a bunch of Orlando Guardian fans here, man.
Let's
XFL,
go.
Can't
absolutely.
Wait.
Love
February
it.
18th, tune in. It's going to be a show with Francois, Jamil, and the Lando Leap.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The new year is almost here, and if you're looking to shed off some holiday pounds before beach season, well, look no further and head on down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Owned and operated by our guy, Quincy legend, Craig Kelly, you will be assured that you are getting the best training around. They believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training and have been leading the charge at their state-of-the-art fitness facility since 2020. Their staff is actively enriching the lives of members and creating a community of like-minded people who love being healthy and strong. They are helping you to get in shape and teaching you how to maintain your health and fitness. Group fitness classes as well as one-on-one personal training sessions are available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com and also follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. If you're looking to get back in shape or trying to get a slight edge on the competition, this gym is for you. Check out Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts, and tell them the boys from Steel and Mass send you. And that was XFL wide receiver newly acquired by the Orlando Guardians, Andrew Jamail. Great to have, you know, guys in studio. You know, DY Kid, Stonehill, just seems like another kid who comes on the show who has a lot of stuff going against him, and he's rising to the occasion.
Stud, incredible. XFL's back. Can't wait. Can't wait to watch him.
In some ways, getting a little XFL on your resume is almost, it's almost better.
Yeah, no, dude, like that's awesome. Like
you want that.
If I was in one of those leagues, it would be the XFL by like miles.
And you got the FCF. He's a journeyed man. When he makes it to the NFL.
Anton's not here, so I can't speak for his behalf, but I'm not, because the Tampa Bay Vipers are no longer a thing. So I don't know if he's going to bounce to the Orlando Guardians, which he should, because Andrew Jamail is our guy now, or the Vipers moved to Vegas, so now they're the Vegas Vipers.
Oh, dude.
Is that a fact?
Maddie roots for the Vegas Vipers. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I mentioned that in the interview, but I thought I'd clear that up right now. good to see.
Long live the Tampa Bay Vipers, though.
Tampa Bay Vipers. Speaking of you being down in Tampa one time for Rough and Rowdy. Rough and Rowdy comes back up to Providence for the first time since Magic Mike versus the Operator. Instead, we're going to be sideline watching our guy, Lights Out Lang, defend his crown against Pro Bowler, great NFL player, and Adam Pac-Man Jones. Magic, this is your time. I'm going to give you the floor.
Excited. Excited is the only way. And angry. I should be fighting in this.
Should be.
I should be. I had my video. I
got in a dumpster and everything.
I don't want to say I pussied out, but you know, I want to just catch it. I want to take this one in from the sidelines.
Are you willing to give out like your like idea? Not like it, you think you can make more of an impact from the sidelines than in the ring?
I do think so.
Yeah.
How's
that?
I ran into Kevin Kervels actually this weekend at the Matt Troy event. Shout out to everyone who put that
on.
Shout out Mikey
event.
Bina.
Awesome.
I told him I'd have him on. I said that drunkenly, but Mike, you can come on if you want.
Anytime, any place.
Well, maybe we'll still make that happen.
Absolutely.
But yeah, great event. A lot of people showed up.
Awesome.
A lot of money raised. Saw Kervels. He'll be there. It's just good that we can shake hands. There's no beef. Never was, but
no bad.
I told him, I was like, I'm not going to lie. He kind of scared me out of that ring.
Champ is here.
Champ is here. Champ is here. Next time, maybe. But this one's going to be big. I think this will be the biggest Rough and Rowdy we see.
Yeah, just because I think
just all the big names.
There's
returning.
A lot of Rough and Rowdy names. There
it's
is.
The return of Lights on Lang to Providence against Pac-Man. He hasn't fought in Rough and Rowdy in a bit. It's been like a year.
Yeah. You think it, too, that, you know, the first fight was in West Virginia. It was clearly a home game for Pac-Man Jones. He's from here. Now you go back into Providence. I don't care that you're not in Massachusetts. You're in New England. This will most certainly be a home game for Lights on Lang.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you win the road game.
Yeah.
Now it's all about bringing the boys home. Let's go.
Now we protect this house.
He looks as much beastly as ever in every video he's putting out. I don't know. I don't see how he loses. I've been saying that for a while now. I just don't see how Lights on Lang loses. But it'll probably be a tight one.
And, like, realization, though, like, Pac-Man Jones, like, this is a payday for him. I think he's just hoping.
Oh, he wants to win, though.
Yeah, but yeah, he definitely wants to win, but his natural athletic ability is kind of giving him, I bet, an edge not to work out as much as Bobby Lights Out Lang does. I mean, no one works out the champ, but, like, you see him promoting his, like, new weed shit and, like, I don't know.
Sounds about
podcasting
right.
But
do you
think after the first one, though, and, like, having it happen, maybe he was a little more locked in to train for this one?
I would love to know how much he's training. That is the thing we don't
know. You
know?
Like, we don't know.
We know Bobby's training.
Because I'm sure that first one, like, he was probably, like, I'm fucking a Pro Bowl athlete.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was tight. I mean, it was a tight fight. I've watched that fight back. I mean, Bobby definitely wins, but it's tight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just think, like, all of Pac-Man Jones' accomplishments in the NFL, his podcasting and stuff, him losing this fight, like, is not the end of the world for him, I think.
No, it's everything. All of that's fucking trash compared to this fight.
I don't know.
I'm kidding, guys. Come on. Reel it in, guys. Come on, man.
I'll be honest. Even if Bobby loses, he's too far in now where he's not going to lose anyway. I'm not even going to fucking say it.
Yeah, don't speak it into
existence.
I don't
have to even speak about that storyline because it doesn't happen. He doesn't lose until he fights Jake Paul. and he makes a milli.
Put on the seer sucker and cheer the victory.
And he can go to sleep happily at night. Jesus, Showtime.
What are you doing over there, dude?
Showtime's amped up.
He's already in the trash.
I wish that was on camera.
We got a great crew coming down to Rough and Rowdy. Showtime will be there. Naz will be there. Steel, unfortunately, can't make it. Anton will be there. A lot of people are going to be in the crowd.
It'll be a good time.
We'll be hanging with some Rough and Rowdy alums. Scary Barry will be in the house. He's excited to see us. We've talked about maybe recording live with afterwards. I don't know.
We'll see what happens. I might be able to get out of there after work.
We can bring this out.
If we could do that, that would be sick.
And have the new iPhone. So
either way, we're doing content. We'll get some content down there.
I'll be in the tuxedo. I'll be front row. I got the best tickets.
I'll be coming right from work.
Other big fights of the night. I like to see the Trapzilla guy on here.
Yep.
I'm glad he lost to Bobby, but he's still a pretty good fight. The guy usually packs a good punch. American Ninja War is always a good fight.
Always
that guy's
fight.
Awesome. That guy's awesome.
That guy's electric.
He looks like he's dyed his hair blonde and his stash blonde. I don't know what he's going for, but there's probably a reason.
Oh, I think he's
super
Saiyan.
That
yeah.
smells like a win.
Yeah.
Smells like a win.
Anime, you got my vote.
Couple girl fights here. Grace O'Malley of Barstool. I'm reading just the main card here. She looks like she could pack a punch.
You know the fight I'm looking for.
Yes, the honey badger versus Sinister. I'm assuming that's your girls.
Oh, is Susie something?
Is Susie Sinister?
Oh,
maybe
Susie
your girl?
Sinister. What a great name, Susie.
Susie.
Can you explain who she
Anton
is?
Anton Yan.
Can you explain who Susie Sinister is and why she's important?
Susie Sinister is a part of the David Dobrik vlog squad, who's just an infamous internet sensation vlog squad. I mean, you got David Dobrik. I think she has a.
Do you think he'll be there?
That's what I'm trying to say. I think she dates that guy Jonah, or might be married to him. So that guy, either Jonah will be there, David Dobrik might be there, Natalie, fucking Todd.
See, this is why you want. This is why we really don't want to fight. We got to be mixing it up with the crowd.
Networking.
I'm also interested to see because like when you fought, it was at the convention center, which has so much grit to it. Not really too big. It's just a bunch of seats and a bunch of different vendors.
Just straight level, like whatever it's called.
This one's gonna be like at the. It's gonna feel like a garden.
I feel like
Donut Center.
And I feel like they haven't had a lot of fights here in a while. I feel like this is going to pack out the house. Everyone's been like anticipating a return of not only Bobby but Rough and Rowdy in general.
It might be like maybe I'm wrong, but it might be their biggest venue. Like in Rough and Rowdy,
the one I went to in West Virginia years ago did have like an. It was like an. It's definitely not as big as this, but it was like an arena. The convention center
was
big.
I was going to say, it's definitely competing at least. Like, you'd have to like fact check the numbers. But the
Miami place was huge too. Those places just were like level seating,
like
which sucks.
Yeah.
The level seating kind of sucks.
No, this is a hockey rink.
Bring it to the arena, baby.
We need
this is where the Providence Bruins play, correct?
Yep. Correct, yes.
A couple shout outs here for the Assassin King and Muerta Blanca. I think they had the best fight in Rough and Rowdy history. Last Rough and Rowdy, they literally both pushed each other out of the ring. It was just the weirdest.
I saw that fight.
And they're both fighting. Once Muerta Blanca's fighting Aidas, I expect Aidas to like murder him.
Just keep saying names.
I will. Aidas, this is a major return for him. He's a beast. I'm glad to see him coming back.
I watched a clip of him today.
He always delivers a good interview after. He usually gives fucking. He doesn't like when they shit like play with him like Ronan Caleb. He's usually a dickhead back to them.
So listeners who want to see Lights Out Lang fight, so this starts at 8 p.m. So 20 fights. What time do you think he's brawling at?
Is it usually like 11:30 midnight for him?
It's close to that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't give you an exact.
It'll be late.
That's tight. That's gonna just make our night.
TT, I know, fighting the Thickawation. TT's a Weymouth guy, something to keep an eye on.
Oh, all right, I'm in.
Legend, yep. Can you? Is there any bets on this yet? Can you probably do it on the Barstool Sports app?
I wonder.
I'm not sure. Rhode Island's weird with sports betting. They have their own sports book, and that's it. They have no other vendors.
Okay.
Smidge the Doorman versus Raging. That's a midget fight. Smidge the Doorman was the highlight midget fight when I fought. So
yeah, he's from Providence. He works at the Coliseum.
Wasn't there a knockout in the midget fight when we were there?
Maybe.
Wasn't there like a vicious knockout, I think?
I think it was the first midget fight ever.
It was the Smidge dude, yeah.
I remember, actually. Whoever Smidge was fighting wasn't showing up. Everyone was like, oh, fuck.
I remember that. Yeah, it was like a big deal.
We were like, where the hell's your guy, Smith? He was like, I don't know. He's not showing. Vicky D versus One Shot, also a big one. I think Vicky D works at Granite Links. Girl's kind of a beast. I think she trains at TMX. She fought also in my one.
Oh, what's her name?
Vicky D. Hottie. She's hot. You would not think she's a boxer.
God bless her.
I know her.
You know,
I used to go to classes. Yeah. She's a beast.
Would she knock you out?
I would think so.
I hope so.
She put on a good fight last time. She came out in the cornrows. She had like a big like mafia type family.
She's
from Providence, so yeah, she'll be rolling in heavy. A lot of these people are from Providence, so they'll be rolling in heavy. I hope Mike Live makes an appearance.
See, I think
anyone remember him?
Bobby Lang's first fight.
You challenged him like 20 times.
Fuck, I should have called him up. That would have been great. Magic Mike versus Mike. That was the call out. Why didn't I think
that's
of
how
that?
It began? Yeah, that's like how it all started.
December 9th, Dunkin' Donuts Center, whatever it's called now, Providence Round. Rough and Rowdy 19, New England, highlighting Bobby Lights Out Lang against Adam Pac-Man Jones. That will be one for the ages.
Hopefully he comes on again.
Grab your tickets online. Show support to the boys.
What do you mean hopefully he comes on again?
No, I don't see why he wouldn't. Yeah, it's tradition.
Bobby's coming on.
Yeah, he's coming on.
I'm on Tale of the Tape. I'm on his podcast. I'm pulling strings over here.
We want Tale of the Tape back.
It needs to come back.
The Tale of the Tape boys will be there.
We got Bobby's back. He's got our back. I mean, that's just through and through. That I even go without saying. I feel like, too, I can't even say who do you think is going to win this fight and go down the list.
Yeah, I know. It's
consensus.
No, yeah.
We're not talking about that.
We are talking about who's going to win. Bobby fucking Lang.
Yeah, Bobby.
Who do you got?
Lang.
Champ is here.
Yep, let's go. Naz, who do you got?
I would I would love a knockout. It's just so hard to knock someone out with those gloves.
I don't know. I don't think it's coming.
In 1 minute rounds, and they are two tough motherfuckers. Yeah, like, Pac-Man Jones used to get hit by NFL players. Like, you know what I mean?
No punt returns.
Dude hadn't called for a fair catch.
Big Booty Daddy was the one he maybe could have knocked out.
Fair, yeah. He could have.
Booty Daddy actually.
Everyone's got a chance.
He doesn't even deserve for us to bring that guy's name up. The guy's a joke.
Texas Tony. Oh, wait.
Who's Small Dick Deadbeat?
Small Dick Deadbeat.
Speaking of Barstool, before we get on the football, big shout out to Jeff Nadeau. Rico Bosco, out the door at Barstool. Prevailed.
Fucking love that.
Let's go.
That's a stealing Naz effect, everyone.
Rico blocked us. He can't even stick. Can't even keep his job.
Hey, guess what? He didn't block me. I'm calling that bitch out tonight.
He'll block you by that then. I guess he's leaving.
Making burners.
I guess he's leaving. But so what?
Hey, good riddance and good gone.
Yes.
Hey, good for you, Barstool.
Jeff Nadeau has been killing it.
Yeah,
lately.
Jeff Nadeau, great pickup.
Mr. Steal Your Broad.
Barstool, you made the right move.
That lineup's looking fucking great.
Can we get a round of applause for Jeff Nader?
Respectfully.
All right, we're going to lead on into the trash Thursday night game that occurred last. Oh, I got the wrong week here. But week 13, AFC now leading Buffalo Bills, took it to the New England Patriots 24-10. I think everyone, for the most part here, thought it was going to go this way. Still, I'll give you the first word. Thoughts on the game.
Thoughts on the game was that was like the worst 14-point loss of all time. Like, if there was no scoreboard on the TV, I would have believed we lost that game by like 50.
100-0.
Yeah, like I would have believed we got massacred.
Even when we went for a fucking fourth down on like, no, we kicked a field goal when we were down by like 21 points, that summed up the whole fucking game.
When Nick Folk's field goal missed, that game ended.
Oh, it hit the front.
Yeah, that game ended that second.
Doink.
Marcus Big Jones, time. Who's like a DB, had their only touchdown, and I mean he's the fastest man alive.
Oh, that was sick.
That was Tyreek Hill speed. Yeah. That was incredible.
That was breakout.
But everyone has been questioning the coaching staff all week, and if you break it down, the defense had a pretty good year. 24 points against the Buffalo Bills is pretty damn good, as much as you can go.
Yeah.
Offense here from the offensive line to the quarterback position. Obviously, we've been pretty critical of Mac Jones. I don't think I need to keep squashing that. The coaching staff, Matt Patricia on the hot seat. Yeah, speaking of that, it's pretty hot in here.
Steaming.
Yeah, steaming. Offensive line, receiving core. It's just been all of an absolute shit show of this team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, outside, like the longest play was like for 15 yards other than that run, other than the touchdown. Yeah.
I think, too, if you look at like Mondre Stevenson's had a great year, but they've kind of held back on the running game when – Damian Harris has been out. I think it's big when they have a 1-2 tandem. I think they said today, they're other than those two running backs, the other running backs who have played have 16 rushes for 18 yards on the whole season.
Puke.
So I think that's a big thing to look at, because this is a team that doesn't have, you know, best offensive line, best quarterback. So your running game should set up this whole offense. I don't have a problem with the defense, but at least going into this week, you know what? This is probably the saddest I've thought of the Patriots this year. I thought they were going to make the playoffs.
That was a must-win game.
It wasn't even must-win. You just need to compete better. If they competed better, because it makes me sick, because I know they don't have as much talent as they did back in the like Brady days, but they're losing like all these small things that they would be. They don't normally get 15-yard penalties roughing the punter, which they did against the Vikings.
That was a killer.
Yeah, they don't normally lead the league in penalties or turnovers. It's the little things that, you know, are fixable that are more mental mistakes than physical. And you'd think if they did that, maybe the record's looking more like 8-4 rather than 6-6, and you have a tough road coming up. I'm going to be even more negative when we go down the line here of what we're talking about the next game and leading forward. I mean, I've been pretty negative about this team. But
Where do you put Stephon Diggs as like an all-time Patriot killer? That guy murders us. He murders everybody
probably,
but us.
At least below Eli Manning, and who's the guy that like tore Gronk's ACL and Brady's?
Pollard.
Yeah.
But that guy's a straight villain. Like, that guy, like, Stephon Diggs is, like, the man. Like, when he's not killing us. That's, like, a good guy. And Eli's just, like, a goofy bastard. That guy is, like, a murderer. That guy sucks.
Yeah, so tough to see there. I thought Mac Jones, again, played as good as he could. He started bitching about, you know, all the short game. They're not passing up the field. Which, you know what? I'd rather see him throw a pick than not, you know, try to beat the team in front of him.
Oh, and definitely. And especially after the Vikings game where, like he slinged it for 382. I get the beginning of the year or, like, when he's coming back from injury, you want to, like, go in. But, like, they unleashed him and it worked against the Vikings. And then they just regressed back to, like, don't throw the ball over 5 yards anymore.
I'm telling you right now, it's all because Matt Patricia, and he's like, all right, we're in a dome, we can finally throw. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's stupid. It's so dumb. I love him screaming, though.
Love him screaming.
On a positive side, getting away from the Patriots a little bit, how about 16-3, Tampa Bay Bucks losing to the Saints 5 minutes ago, Tom Brady, 45 years old, two touchdowns, I think they were both passes, to end the game and a W, get to 6-6, now leading the NFC South, well, have been, because that's such a bad division. But, you know, man, he's not going out. He's going out swinging if he's going to do
that. That was major. You know, the slander against Tom on that timeline that night was pretty heavy.
And then
he was like, suck my dick.
Yeah, then it just all becomes, sucker.
And that's literally why, if that man's offering, I hope he comes back.
Any day of the week.
I was watching the game with Papa Naz. He went to bed when it was 16-3. I said, don't you dare go to bed on this guy. Don't you do it. And he did.
He did it. But he has to do it. Exactly. The haters have
all,
to. They,
all
like,
Tom ever has to do is get into those playoffs. And make sure that team's on.
They get a home
good
game.
Momentum.
It's a very weak conference, too. Outside of the Eagles, and even you see the Niners there down to their third-string quarterback after Jimmy G got hurt.
The top three teams, too, just because Brady is obviously the most proven playoff quarterback literally ever. Like, the playoffs, like, those top three teams aren't proven at all.
No, none.
Like, Jalen Hurts, we haven't seen. I don't think they'll puke on themselves.
They're a good team. They're good.
I think,
for once, Philly actually
might
be legit.
Yeah, they're very good. I agree with that. Kirk Cousins could puke on himself a trillion percent.
Yeah.
The 49ers might not have Jimmy. Like, who knows what's going on with
them.
I'm actually
a big fan of Brock Purdy, though. I think he's a beast.
All right, sure.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, no, get it done, yeah.
I think he's going to
embrace it.
He's going to be slinging it.
Box by 50.
Is that next week?
No. But
they do. They might play next week, actually.
Let's see.
They legitimately might.
Let's see what we got.
I need a nice, easy schedule for the Bucks just to, like,
I think it's Bucks 49ers next week.
Yeah, is that this? No, that's this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's this week.
Yeah.
It's literally this week.
Good.
Bucks lock of the week. Fuck Brock.
Is it in Tampa?
It is in...
I think it's in San Fran.
It is in San Fran. Mm. San Fran favored by 3.5 points.
Box.
Yeah, oh, that's
yeah, give me the box.
We'll go lock of the week already.
I know. Yeah.
That is lock of the week.
Okay, that's your lock of the week. My lock of the week this week is going to be Sunday Night Football, Dolphins on the road against the Chargers. Chargers have looked like absolute dog shit. Dolphins need a win after a tough loss against the San Francisco 49ers. I think the Dolphins bounce back. And even though they're in our division, they're kind of away from us. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be in any contention to, you know, disrupt the Patriots' plans. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm actually a big fan of the Dolphins coaching. I like The guy who's come over for the Niners. What's his name?
McDaniel.
Yeah, McDaniel. I think
that guy's hilarious.
He's a good player.
There's a bunch of videos about him. That guy's literally hysterical. I've been seeing him.
I got Dolphins cover spread at 3 on the road in California. As we get to the Monday Night Football game, the Patriots are on the road against the Cardinals. A 1.5 in New England's favorite on the road. Glendale, Scottsdale, you name it, right around the corner. Steele, what do you think about this game?
Well, I think the biggest thing is our offense, because Arizona lets up the second most points in the league. So this is a defense that you need to actually attack, not just play some game possession football like this. They've let up, and it's like 0.2 away from having the most in the league. Like, you got to attack them. Their defense stinks. And I mean, like,
defense isn't bad.
DeAndre Hopkins and
Buda Baker is a savage.
Yeah, that's one player on a defense, man.
JJ Watt.
They let up the second most points in the league, dude. That's not like an opinion.
But,
you're
playing an offense who doesn't score points.
And that's why you need to sling it. Did you not listen to what I said without just...
Will
like
they sling it, though?
Point?
I don't know.
Like, it's like, shut the fuck up, dude. That was crazy.
At this point, they better sling it.
That's what I'm saying. You just watched your offensive coordinator just got bitched out by his very quiet quarterback. Mm. Like, you got to do something.
I hope so.
I mean, the season's over, so sling it. Fucking seriously, let it rip.
They're only a game back of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's over.
They're only a game back of the playoffs.
It's fucking over.
No, he's right. It's over. They don't stand a chance.
it really is.
My take on this game.
And that might work in their favor that I'm saying it's over.
It's been an absolute wash whenever you play a mobile quarterback. I think Kyler Murray's going to come out. They're going to put up 30 points on the Patriots. I'm thinking Cardinals 30, Patriots 20. This is my bold prediction. I'm not trying to be a hater. This is just the way I think it's going to work. I think the Patriots lose out. I think they lose every single game for the rest of the season. I think they go 6-11.
Cardinals are 1-6 at home. Does that factor into your pick?
Absolutely not.
1-6.
1-6.
Sounds like Steele's got the Pats.
I'm not rooting for...
You got the Pats?
The Cardinals, but yeah. I just think... You look at these games coming... All right, what's the final score of the game?
28-21.
Ooh, okay.
Cliff Kingsbury's a loser.
He is a loser.
This is his final game. Bright lights under Monday Night Football. Cliff Kingsbury gets fired after he loses to the
Canned
Patriots.
Canned on Tuesday? If they win, I kind of like that.
Canned.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that still.
I'll go 28-21 Cardinals.
There you go. Okay. So we're playing devil's advocate. Producer Craig stepped out for a little bit, so we'll get back to him in a bit. But for me, I say this. I don't say as a hater. I'm not trying to be a hater. They play the Cardinals, which I said a loss. The Raiders, who have been becoming a better team.
Raiders are
hot. Getting hot next game. Yeah. That could be a loss.
They're 5 in a row.
Oh, okay.
Then they get the Bengals on Christmas Eve. Bengals just beat the Chiefs. They're looking like a hotter team. That could be a loss. Miami had your number in week one, looking like one of the better teams in the AFC. That could be a loss. And then you go to Buffalo at the end of the season. If that game means anything for the number one seed, Buffalo's going to play other guys. That could be a loss.
That's where you get screwed with those games back-to-back at the end, because like, they're probably going to be neck and neck for like first. So like, Miami and Buffalo are probably going to like fucking play.
Yeah.
And to make the playoffs, you probably have to go 4-1, and you're not going 4-1 against those teams.
Probably not.
I'm not being a hater. I'm not being a hater. That's literally just...
Well, the Ravens, Lamar's out for a bit.
They're not playing the Ravens.
No, but that helps. Like, that's one of the teams you need to suck
and
lose. Right.
And the Jets.
Yeah, yes.
And they could suck and lose.
Teams can crumble.
Yeah. So you could get in 9-8, but I don't know. I got an over-under bet on 8.5 wins for the Pats. So I'm hoping they go 3-2, but with my luck, they'll lose every game.
Yeah, you don't stand a chance. There's no way you can win this bet.
Okay, so we're on the Cardinals side besides Steele. I'm not feeling too good about Monday night. I'm hoping they kind of, turn the page, as the Cardinals have been a failing team this year. They've been on the Hard Knocks in season. It's been horrible. I stopped watching after like the second episode.
Watch it the next week, though, because you're going to see Cliff Kingsbury get fired. Get ready.
That'd be sick. I love how they've been, because they did it last year with the Colts, and the Colts didn't do anything, and they were awful. So like, this whole idea of doing it in season, they've been just trying to find a team that like plays well, and they just get two dog shit teams.
Yeah, you pick the Cardinals and who else?
The Colts
last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and the Colts lost to the Jaguars to end the season last year when they could have made the playoffs. So just a dumpster fire there.
That's great TV.
That could be a new curse. You get the
could be,
you
yeah.
get
We're
the
only 2 years
season.
In. Yeah.
Whatever the show's called, you fucking suck. You blow big games.
Speaking of the new curse, Aaron Judge signs a 9-year deal, $360 million. I'd like to congratulate him for making $40 million a year. I would also like to congratulate him for not winning a World Series the rest of his career because he's in a New York Yankees uniform.
I think he makes $109,000 a day.
As he should. Contract year to year, 62 home runs, as he should. So that ends, like, months of clips of future Red Sox Aaron Judge. I think even last week I was like, Aaron Judge is going to be a Yankee. Non-believers. Fucking awful. Knew all along.
It's great stuff.
Face of the franchise, face of the MLB. Got to pay it money.
Do you think there were better moves to make for them? Or they still have enough money to make more?
Yeah. Dude, they can
still do it.
There's no salary. Like, it doesn't fucking
matter.
Nothing
makes me happier than the Yankees going out and getting everything they can and still losing, though. So hopefully that is what happens.
Changes next year.
So I'm sure you're happy that John Heyman was like, said it's confirmed that like he's going to the Giants yesterday.
Way to just butcher your career, pal.
He butchered it real hard because he's one of the leaders in like breaking news.
But now he's just Arson Judge guy.
Yeah.
Like that was Jose Aldo getting knocked out in 13 seconds. He's fucking just the guy McGregor
Wait,
knocked
said,
out.
Oh, he said Judge was going to the Giants?
He said yeah. Arson Judge spelled his name
I thought
name
I saw
wrong.
That, and then today I saw a picture of him with the deal.
Like 2 hours later, he was like, my bad. I was wrong. Sorry.
He belongs in a dumpster.
Did he break it on Twitter?
Did he break that?
Did Elon Twitter. Get involved? Did Elon call him out and say fake news?
No, didn't say anything.
Shout out to Elon on Twitter. Twitter's been popping.
On the Red Sox forefront, friend of the program, has been on the program back in the day, Miles B., quote, what's up with this Japanese beast guy to be excited for? Breaking news, as the Boston Red Sox agreed to a 5-year deal worth more than $85 million, the Japanese outfielder Masataka Yoshida.
Okay.
29 years old. He's as tall as me at 5'8". Hit 21 homers, 88 ribbies, batted .335 last year in the Japanese league. Hopefully,
is he our white knight? Are you?
Hopefully he's a good signing. I think he's an outfielder.
That's what you said, yeah.
Yeah, outfielder. The Phillies were his main attraction, but he turned the tide, and maybe we can get him on the pod.
Makes sense.
Why not?
Might need a translator, but good to see
you. We love you, Yoshida.
They also signed Kelly Jansen to a 2-year, $38 million deal. Leading closer in the MLB last year, had about 42 saves. So I think that's big on the bullpen forefront. And the rumors with the Red Sox is they have upped the ante on the price to Xander Bogaerts. So hopefully that deal's done by tomorrow. They can get him back in the uniform. And, you know, that'd be great. I think that's the goal for them this, winter meetings is to get back your shortstop, who I think, if you're talking about two franchise players, it's him and Rafael Devers. So take care of Bogaerts, then go get your guy Devers. So it would be good to see Bogaerts back in a Red Sox uniform.
I'd say outside of Judge, the next biggest win for the Yankees is Verlander's finally fucked off to the NL.
Where did he
Thank
go
Thank God.
Where?
The Mets.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give the Mets credit. They let...
The Mets are pumped.
They let DeGrom walk, and then they reunite the Detroit boys as Justin Verlander signed... Imagine signing... What's he, like 43?
Something like that.
He signed a 2-year, $87 million deal at 43 years old. That's insane.
I do respect it, because, like losing DeGrom and just being like, fuck it, get Verlander is like unreal.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
Do you think it's a better trade-off in a way?
No,
but if you're going to replace Jacob DeGrom, you're going to replace him with the AL Cy Young.
You replace the best pitcher on the planet with like the second one.
It
like,
keeps
you
the fans hopeful,
yeah,
for sure. They're hopeful about that one.
Then they signed today Jose Quintana, who's a good number three option.
Yeah, and they lost Taijuan Walker to the Phillies as well. So.
Oh, Taijuan Walker's a beast.
Yeah.
Damn.
Had to replace him.
Dave Dombrowski, dude, been doing well for himself. Good to see. Hopefully the Red Sox can take care of that. If not, I'm going to be pretty upset. But, I mean, this guy Heim Bloom's a piece of shit anyway, so I could see him dropping the ball here, all pun intended.
I see the last thing on here, Bruins lose their first game at home. That's a tough one.
Yeah, shout out to Bruce Cassidy.
That's a tough streak to lose.
After Sweeney and Neely let him out the door, the Jacobs, he comes back in here with a pretty damn good Vegas Golden Knights team. Go up 3-0, and then the Bruins came back with goals from Marchand, Taylor Hall, and I think Pastrnak,
yep,
to tie the game up at 3, Ends up going to overtime. I think the Bruins should have closed it out. I think they had a power play 4-on-3. Couldn't get it done. And then, of course, Riley Smith gets it done. Shootout to propel the Golden Knights to the Bruins' first home loss. Not regulation loss. I don't know how far we're going to go with that. But, yeah, it's a loss. And now they're 15-0-1 at home. They're 23-1 overall. Team is buzzing. Swayman played the other night. Omark, I think, is back to neutral. I think they're back to, you know, swapping off. But
they're three games before that loss. Beat Carolina, beat Tampa Bay, beat the defending cup winners 5-1. They're going to beat the Avalanche Season tonight four. In an
yeah.
hour. Like,
yeah,
no worries.
We're recording on Wednesday night.
No
they,
worries.
They start their West road trip tonight with the Avalanche. Then they play Phoenix, and then I think they wrap up with the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So be good to see. I just love how they're doing a last hurrah. Like, someone was asking me the other day, like, who would you rather win the championship this year? Because the Celtics are hot. We'll talk about Celtics more next week. The Celtics are the Bruins, and it's easily the Bruins, not just because I'm a big Bruins fan, but, like, this is their last hurrah, man.
Yeah,
like,
the Celtics are going to be sick for, like, that's locked in for a bit. Like, the Bruins might not be good, like, next year. Like,
then that's a fair enough reason. Hopefully we get both, but. That's
of course,
great.
Of course.
Let's not be greedy, but hopefully.
Like, we're talking like 51-49 here, you know, 51% to 40. Like, we want them
yeah,
both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, folks, unless we got anything else, you know, we're going to be down at Rough and Rowdy on Friday. Come say hi, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Seersucker, Fedora. Can't miss me. Rachel Starshirt. See me on the Jumbotron if they got one.
Want to thank y'all, everyone, for tuning in, and thanks to Andrew Jamil for coming in studio tonight and getting on the pod. Hedge Better making this all possible. Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. Craig Kelly does a great job over there. The law offices of Patrick J. Foley.
Seaport Social.
Yeah, tune in for our Thursday night picks this week. Seaport Social just opened their doors last Thursday.
Heard it was a great
opening. You guys
opening.
Go? No,
yeah,
you,
I was not
there.
Weren't
heard
there,
it was but
great
I heard they're busy and they're busting and people are socializing.
That's
and that's
it.
What we like
that's
to see.
That's it. Eat, drink, socialize.
That's what American Social does.
Yes, sir.
Seaport Social.
Yeah, come on, man. Get it together.
It's okay.
Clean it up.
Seaport American, same thing.
That's a wrap. Episode 103. That's all from Steel and Az. Be safe out there and enjoy. Going to be a hell of a weekend.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Let it rip.
Having a week.